In a time of unprecedented political division, Mark Levin's provocative examination of the modern Democrat Party has captured the attention of conservative readers nationwide. The Democrat Party Hates America rocketed to bestseller status immediately upon release, with Levin's passionate fan base embracing his thesis that the party has fundamentally transformed from its historical roots into something unrecognizable and dangerous to American liberty. While critics dismiss the work as partisan hyperbole, Levin's loyal audience sees it as a clarion call about threats to constitutional governance. The book builds upon Levin's previous bestsellers like American Marxism and Liberty and Tyranny, further cementing his status as one of conservative media's most influential voices in diagnosing what he sees as America's political decline. The modern Democrat Party functions as the political and operational organism through which American Marxism operates, having evolved into what Levin characterizes as an anti-American entity focused primarily on power acquisition. This transformation follows Antonio Gramsci's Long March Through Institutions strategy, where radicals systematically populate and transform cultural institutions, including education, media, entertainment, and religious organizations, to fundamentally restructure society from within. Herbert Marcuse, a prominent Frankfurt School theorist, similarly advocated working against established institutions while working in them, while Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals provided detailed tactical guidance for this quiet revolution, including specific methods for infiltrating and subverting existing power structures. The party's leadership clearly reflects these philosophical influences. Barack Obama's formative relationship with Communist Party member Frank Marshall Davis significantly shaped his political worldview, while Bernie Sanders' lifelong Marxist activism, from his honeymoon in the Soviet Union to his consistent praise of communist regimes, demonstrates the depth of this ideological commitment. This represents a top-down, elitist-driven movement functioning more like Lenin's democratic centralization than Jeffersonian democracy, with party leaders imposing radical policies despite public resistance. The Democrat Party's increasing cultural, economic, and political interventions manifest in expanding government control over healthcare, education, energy production, and private enterprise. Each intervention leads to declining individual liberty and rising totalitarian tendencies, as evidenced by vaccine mandates, speech restrictions, and economic regulations that disproportionately affect small businesses and the middle class. Every Democrat electoral victory further empowers the administrative state and judicial oligarchs who operate without meaningful checks or consequences. Career bureaucrats in agencies like the EPA, FBI, and IRS increasingly function as an unaccountable fourth branch of government. Republican victories are treated as intolerable interruptions in the march toward one-party control, with Republican victors subjected to relentless political and criminal pursuit, as seen with Nixon's forced resignation, Reagan's Iran-Contra investigation, and most dramatically with Trump's two impeachments and multiple criminal indictments, far beyond anything Democrats face for similar or worse actions. The party has systematically implemented fraud-inducing election techniques while preemptively accusing critics of racism and election denial. These techniques include eliminating voter identification laws, removing signature requirements for absentee ballots, implementing universal mail-in voting, establishing automatic voter registration systems, pre-registering underage voters, allowing unlimited ballot harvesting, proliferating unsupervised drop boxes, and extending voting periods from days to weeks. By incorporating these practices into law through court decisions and legislation, it becomes nearly impossible to establish evidence of fraud after the fact, while Republican efforts to reform these systems are immediately labeled as voter suppression and Jim Crow 2.0. This strategy effectively immunizes questionable practices from scrutiny while delegitimizing any attempt at electoral security reform. The Civil War wasn't merely a conflict between North and South, but between the Republican and Democrat parties, a fact rarely emphasized in modern discourse. Despite efforts to obscure this history, the Democrat Party was deeply entangled with the Ku Klux Klan, lynchings, segregation, Jim Crow laws, and voter intimidation. Jefferson Davis and virtually all Confederate leaders were Democrats, including Nathan Bedford Forrest, who became the KKK's first Grand Wizard. Woodrow Wilson, a prominent Democrat intellectual and later president, was an accomplished racist who supported the KKK's mission, prevented black students from attending Princeton during his presidency, and signed eugenic sterilization legislation as New Jersey governor. As president, Wilson reversed decades of racial progress by resegregating federal departments, requiring photographs with civil service applications to block black hiring, appointing segregationists to his cabinet, and firing black administrators. Progressive Democrats like Wilson rejected the Declaration of Independence's principles of individual unalienable rights and natural law, because these fundamentally contradicted both progressive ideology and Democrat Party racism. Wilson explicitly wrote that Americans were not bound to adhere to the doctrines held by the signers of the Declaration, and that it was no fetish. Franklin Roosevelt's legacy includes significant racism. His Executive Order 9066 forcibly relocated 120,000 Japanese Americans to internment camps. His Federal Housing Administration promoted racial segregation through redlining. He refused to support federal anti-lynching legislation despite black leaders' pleas. Roosevelt never spoke to the NAACP, gave no speeches on black concerns, and banned black reporters from White House press conferences. He even snubbed Jesse Owens after his Olympic triumph. The 1964 Civil Rights Act was opposed by 69% of Senate Democrats and 61% of House Democrats, while supported by 82% of Senate Republicans and 80% of House Republicans. Robert Byrd, a former Klan recruiter, filibustered the bill for 14 hours, yet later served as Senate Democrat leader for 12 years, praised by party leaders like Biden, Obama, and the Clintons upon his death. Given this atrocious racial history, how did the Democrat Party successfully rebrand itself as the Party of Civil Rights? Several factors explain the political realignment. Older black Americans with memories of the Party of Lincoln passed away. The Great Depression devastated black communities. Mass migration of blacks to northern cities exposed them to Democrat political machines. And, despite its racist elements, some New Deal programs provided limited benefits to black Americans. Most significantly, Democrats began redefining civil rights in economic terms, laying groundwork for socialism while breaking down constitutional barriers. Roosevelt's proposed Second Bill of Rights declared Americans were entitled to guaranteed employment, adequate income, decent housing, medical care, protection from economic hardship, and education, rights bearing striking resemblance to Stalin's 1936 Soviet Constitution. Anti-white racism has become increasingly prevalent in American culture, actively promoted through institutional channels including academia, media, and Democratic Party leadership. This ideological shift traces back to early progressive-era thinkers who deliberately merged Marxist class struggle theory with America's racial dynamics. Post-Civil War America stands accused of fostering economic growth through systematic racial discrimination, a framework scholars have termed racial capitalism. This theory posits that America's entire economic foundation rests upon a deliberate system of theft, exclusion, and exploitation of people of color for the explicit benefit of white Americans. The attempt to blame capitalism for slavery represents a fundamental distortion of historical reality. Capitalism's core principles, individual rights, personal liberty, voluntary exchange, and free will, stand in direct opposition to government-sanctioned human bondage. Historical evidence shows that free market capitalism actually helped undermine slavery by creating economic opportunities and social mobility. Notably, it was the Progressive Era's early American Marxists who championed eugenics programs and implemented widespread racist policies in the post-Civil War period. President Biden exemplifies the Democratic Party's transformation from historical anti-black racism to contemporary anti-white rhetoric. While positioning himself as democracy's defender against white supremacy, his own documented history includes collaboration with segregationists and numerous racially charged statements. This ideological shift is evident in party communications. The 2020 Democratic platform mentioned whites 15 times, consistently in critical contexts, while notably capitalizing black, Latino, and other racial designations, but deliberately leaving white in lowercase. The Biden administration has systematically institutionalized this racial framework through numerous executive orders mandating equity rather than equality across all federal agencies. These policies have resulted in explicitly race-based exclusions from various government relief programs and benefits. A stark example emerged when the Small Business Administration implemented COVID relief prioritization for businesses owned by women, veterans, or those deemed socially and economically disadvantaged, effectively creating a system that explicitly disadvantaged white-owned businesses regardless of their economic circumstances. The Democratic Party's increasing anti-Semitism has evolved alongside its embrace of neo-Marxist ideology. Modern Democratic anti-Semitism frequently characterizes Jews as members of the white oppressor class, despite Judaism's historical persecution. The Obama administration demonstrated this through multiple policy decisions undermining Israel, withholding military support during attacks, enabling Iran's nuclear ambitions, abstaining from crucial UN votes opposing anti-Israel resolutions, and attempting to influence Israeli electoral outcomes against Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Biden administration has continued this trajectory by pursuing renewed negotiations with Iran, circumventing the Taylor-Force Act to restore Palestinian funding, and deliberately slow-walking implementation of Trump's executive order on combating anti-Semitism. These actions reflect a broader pattern of institutional bias that combines traditional anti-Semitic tropes with modern identity-based politics. Totalitarian systems systematically alter people's perception of reality through sophisticated language manipulation. As Professor Magda Stroinska's research demonstrates, totalitarian regimes employ multifaceted propaganda techniques and mass deception based on carefully constructed fiction, weaponizing language for political purposes. This authoritarian practice now exists extensively throughout the United States as fundamental concepts of language, science, and knowledge are being strategically redefined to impose American Marxist and Democrat Party beliefs. The manipulation extends beyond simple word changes to reshape entire frameworks of understanding. The climate change narrative provides a striking example of how Marxists and autocrats justify expanding control over citizens by promising an idealized future while demanding immediate concrete sacrifices. Every weather phenomenon, from hurricanes to drought, from floods to wildfires, is automatically attributed to climate change, thereby justifying unprecedented government control over household products, energy consumption, economic systems, and individual freedoms. The issue's manufactured urgency creates a deliberate pressure cooker environment where there's deliberately no time allocated for methodically evaluating the accuracy of past climate predictions or examining alternative explanations. The Biden administration has implemented sweeping government-wide directives, fundamentally changing words and language throughout the federal bureaucracy. The CDC now recommends using persons experiencing unsheltered homelessness instead of homeless people, while the FAA has replaced airmen with aircrew. These changes extend beyond federal agencies. Nancy Pelosi's House rules package banned traditionally gendered terms, requiring parent instead of mother or father, sibling instead of brother or sister, and chairperson instead of chairman. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Democrat-governed states implemented unprecedented civil liberties restrictions, closing schools, religious gatherings, businesses, and public spaces while strictly mandating masks and social distancing protocols. Scientists and medical professionals questioning these practices were systematically ignored, censored, or publicly denounced. Subsequent comprehensive studies, including a major analysis from Cochrane Library, found that masks didn't clearly reduce viral infections in community settings, while Johns Hopkins researchers concluded lockdowns had little to no public health effects despite inflicting enormous economic damage and social disruption. The Twitter files scandal exposed an elaborate public-private censorship infrastructure where multiple government agencies, including the FBI, CIA, and Department of Homeland Security, sent thousands of coordinated censorship requests to Twitter. The Biden administration paid Twitter $3.4 million specifically for processing requests while simultaneously coordinating with academic institutions like Stanford's Virality Project to systematically censor even factually accurate information that might cause vaccine hesitancy. This revealed an unprecedented level of government involvement in controlling public discourse through private platforms. Citizenship represents the relationship between individuals and the state, granting rights and responsibilities that unite people around common values and culture. Unfortunately, the ruling class, led by the Democrat Party, media, academia, and administrative state, no longer shares the public's belief in citizenship's necessity or America's well-being. Harvard professor Samuel Huntington observed a significant divide between public views on national identity and those of elites. While average citizens value societal security, traditional patterns of language, culture, and national identity, many elites prioritize the global economy, international institutions, and minority identities over American nationalism. The Biden administration's open border policies have created a humanitarian catastrophe while enriching Mexican cartels by billions of dollars. These cartels exploit migrants through sex trafficking, rape, kidnapping, involuntary servitude, child abuse, and labor, effectively creating modern-day slavery. The Heritage Foundation reports that the administration prioritizes allowing as many illegal aliens as possible into the country while making American taxpayers fund their transportation, shelter, food, medical care, and education. This chaos is purposeful. Biden and the Democrat Party are using immigration to fundamentally transform America. Human trafficking has exploded, with cartels shifting from merely taxing independent smugglers to directly controlling the human trafficking business, an industry whose revenues have soared from $500 million in 2018 to $13 billion today, according to Homeland Security investigations. The financial burden on American institutions is staggering. FAIR estimates public schools spend over $78 billion educating illegal aliens and children of illegal aliens, with more than 10% of all students in American public schools now designated as limited English proficiency. Crime rates have also dramatically increased, with Border Patrol statistics showing criminal non-citizen arrests skyrocketing under Biden. The Democrat Party once opposed illegal immigration, but reversed course for political gain. Harry Reid, former Senate Democrat leader, wrote in 1994 that America couldn't sustain new populations the size of San Diego every year and proposed doubling border patrols while reducing legal immigration. Labor unions, including Cesar Chavez's United Farm Workers, once opposed illegal immigration as undermining American workers' wages. But this history has been whitewashed as Democrats embraced open borders to enlarge their voting bloc. Marx advocated abolishing the family structure, replacing parental guidance with state priorities, and implementing communal education of children, a strategy that continues to influence modern political movements. The Democrat Party benefits politically from the nuclear family's breakdown, as demonstrated by clear voting patterns. while married women tend to vote Republican, 56%, unmarried women overwhelmingly vote Democrat, 68%. This trend has become increasingly significant as marriage rates have plummeted from 80% of households in 1950 to under 50% today, creating a substantial electoral advantage for Democrats. The effort to separate children from parental influence has become increasingly aggressive. The Biden administration coordinated with the DOJ and National School Boards Association to intimidate parents protesting Marxist indoctrination in schools, with Attorney General Garland issuing a memo threatening FBI investigations against protesting parents. When House Republicans passed a Parents' Bill of Rights Act, which would ensure parents' right to know what their children are being taught, every single Democrat opposed it. Biden himself explicitly stated that school children don't belong to parents when they're in the classroom, revealing a troubling perspective on parental rights. The COVID-19 pandemic provided unprecedented opportunities to implement policies that severely impacted children's development. A comprehensive Brown University study revealed that masking young children caused a devastating 23% drop in early learning composite scores. Verbal development scores plummeted from 100 in 2018 to approximately 70 in 2021, while nonverbal development fell from 105 to 80. These impacts were particularly severe in low-income communities where alternative educational options were limited. Public schools have increasingly transformed into centers for promoting anti-American Marxist ideology. Critical race theory has become deeply embedded in curricula, teaching children that America was fundamentally founded as a racist nation, that every American institution exists primarily to maintain white dominance, and that the constitutional system must be overthrown for equity. This ideology isn't confined to history classes. It's systematically integrated across subjects including English, science, and mathematics, with examples including social justice mathematics and decolonized science. For families desperately seeking escape from failing public schools, Democrats consistently obstruct alternatives like charter schools that have demonstrated remarkable success, particularly for minority children. Renowned economist Thomas Sowell extensively documented how Democrats, who have controlled major cities with large black populations for decades, routinely oppose charter schools despite their proven track record of success. This forces students to remain in failing institutions, effectively prioritizing teachers' unions and political control over educational outcomes. Studies show charter school students in urban areas often outperform their public school peers by significant margins, yet expansion of these programs faces constant political opposition. The U.S. Constitution stands as humanity's most remarkable governing document, uniquely dividing federal power into three co-equal branches while protecting state and individual liberties. Those seeking to fundamentally transform America must destroy constitutional republicanism. The Democrat Party and its revolutionary partners are relentlessly finding ways to bypass constitutional obstacles to centralize power. While Democrats once claimed the Constitution embodied their ideology, they now openly express disdain for it. Modern academic attacks attempt to discredit the document by linking it to slavery. Radical leftist Ellie Meistel declares the Constitution trash, written by slavers and colonists without consent from minorities or women, advocating for eliminating states' rights on health care, elections, policing, and guns, revealing his true aim of imposing his political will on America. In 2014, Democrats proposed a constitutional amendment that would have gutted the First Amendment by giving Congress and states power to regulate political speech. The amendment would have allowed politicians to restrict criticism of their policies and prohibit speech by nonprofit groups while exempting the media. Though defeated, this totalitarian proposal revealed the Democrat Party's willingness to severely limit free speech. The Biden administration has continued this trend through the Department of Homeland Security's efforts to influence tech platforms and police misinformation. U.S. District Judge Terry Doughty described these government actions as the most massive attack against free speech in U.S. history when issuing a preliminary injunction against the administration. Religious liberty, also protected by the First Amendment, has faced increasing assault from the Democrat Party. As Kelly Shackelford of First Liberty Institute notes, for the first century of our republic, the Supreme Court heard zero cases concerning the Free Exercise Clause. Since 1940, coinciding with Roosevelt and the New Deal, litigation on religious liberty has exploded, with more than 75 Supreme Court cases challenging religious freedom in just 80 years. The Democrat Party has launched a campaign to either co-opt or destroy the Supreme Court when it doesn't advance their agenda. Today's Democrats have revived court-packing proposals, supported by radical law professors like Kermit Roosevelt III, who served on Biden's Supreme Court Commission. Roosevelt argues the system is broken because Republican-appointed justices hold a majority despite Democrats winning more recent presidential elections. The Democrat Party's assault on the Electoral College represents another front in their war against constitutional governance. Left-wing academics falsely claim the system has racist origins and enables minority rule, when in reality it was designed to balance power among diverse states and regions. Democrats have devised the National Popular Vote scheme to circumvent the constitutional amendment process, creating an interstate compact where states agree to allocate their electoral votes to the National Popular Vote winner, regardless of their state's results. The Democrat Party's persecution of Donald Trump represents an unprecedented weaponization of government power that echoes totalitarian tactics reminiscent of Stalin and his feared security chief Lavrenti Beria, who infamously declared, "Show me the man and I'll show you the crime." This pattern began even before Trump took office, with prominent Democrats openly discussing impeachment strategies in late 2016. Following their 2018 House majority victory, Democrats initiated over 24 investigations targeting Trump's administration, family, and business interests, consuming thousands of hours and millions in taxpayer resources. The Russia collusion narrative exemplifies this weaponization of federal power. The investigation was built entirely on the Steele dossier, opposition research fiction funded by the Clinton campaign through law firm Perkins Coie and opposition research firm Fusion GPS. Despite internal FBI communications acknowledging the dossier's credibility issues, FBI Director James Comey used it to obtain FISA warrants and attempt to leverage Trump. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's exhaustive 2-year investigation involving 19 prosecutors, 40 FBI agents, 2,800 subpoenas, and 500 search warrants ultimately concluded there was no evidence of collusion between Trump's campaign and Russia. The Biden administration's Justice Department has taken this political weaponization to new heights, particularly in its unprecedented application of the Espionage Act against Trump. The 31 separate Espionage Act counts represent classic prosecutorial overcharging, breaking single events into multiple technical violations to improve odds of conviction. For a 77-year-old defendant, even a single conviction carrying 5 to 20 years effectively becomes a life sentence. This stands in stark contrast to the treatment of other officials. Joe Biden retained classified documents in unsecured locations, including his Delaware garage, and Hillary Clinton maintained 113 classified emails on an unauthorized private server, yet neither faced criminal charges or FBI raids. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch's May 2023 warning about creeping tyranny gained particular resonance against this backdrop. He specifically cited the post-March 2020 period as witnessing the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in peacetime history, with Democrat officials leading implementation of emergency powers, mandates, and restrictions that frequently exceeded constitutional bounds. The modern Democrat Party has evolved beyond traditional political party functions into what some analysts term a state party, an organization seeking to monopolize institutional power across government, academia, media, and culture. Unlike Republicans who primarily focus on electoral victories, Democrats systematically build permanent power centers through the federal bureaucracy, activist judiciary appointments, NGO networks, tenured academic positions, and aligned media organizations. This creates self-perpetuating institutional control that persists regardless of election outcomes. The author argues this transformation represents an existential threat to American democracy, concluding that only a decisive electoral defeat of the Democrat Party, combined with systematic dismantling of its administrative state apparatus, can prevent America's fundamental transformation from becoming irreversible. The warning is stark. If this new form of Democrat Party succeeds in consolidating its institutional power, the American experiment will have failed, fundamentally altering the nature of American governance and liberty.